prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave, that's Pastor Jeff, and we are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
This is true. Thanks for joining us today. And thank you to all of you who have donated and given to Revolution Church. We really appreciate it, especially those of you who gave to Truth Revolution specifically. We're on 13 channels right now, I think, and a TV station and YouTube and podcast listeners. And you guys just, you make this happen.
It's like you almost can't go anywhere without finding us.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's cool.
And I love to meet you out there when I get to meet everybody. Say, hey, I listen to the show.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
That is always, it's always cool when you hear somebody say that they listen to the show, because then you know, man, we're actually making a difference.
Yeah, especially the people who say, you know what, I wasn't a Christian, and I listened to the show and I realized this is rational. This stuff makes sense, and so I decided I better really investigate this, and they become Christians. Like, those are the most amazing stories.
Right, and you know the thing is that you want people to look into that, because it's like, hey, this sounds like it might be true, but I think I won't look into it. You know, and that those are the really disappointing ones. But we just really encourage everybody to continue to listen. If you do give, we thank you for that. Continue to do so, and we can reach more and more people.
All right. Well, today we're talking about the exclusive Jesus.
The exclusive Jesus.
Yeah, he's the one you can only get if you wear the proper clothes and go to the right nightclub.
Wow.
He's really exclusive.
I guess I'm not on that list.
No, that is not. That is not what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about how exclusive Jesus is, about how there's really no other way to heaven. Now, we're doing this, and next week, we're actually going to have on Kenneth Samples from Reasons to Believe.
Right on.
That's where Hugh Ross, if you remember Hugh Ross, Fuzz Rana, those guys, the biologist and astronomer, they come from Reasons to Believe.
Right.
Ken Samples is the theologian they have on staff, so he's going to join us. He got a new book out, God Among Sages, that compares Jesus to Buddha and Krishna, Muhammad. Like, is Jesus any different? Well, today we're going to talk about kind of like part one of that, but is Jesus exclusive? So today we're going to set it up and show that there is no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. And then next week we're going to show why he's different than those other guys.
Right. The thing is, we were talking before the show and I was like, we were looking through this. It's like, how can, this is such a mound of evidence.
Well, a lot of people don't think so. A lot of people don't think Jesus is exclusive. And
you think I'm biased?
Well, probably at this point, but at one point you were biased the other direction.
Right.
And so was I, and so was everybody just about who's listening to this. And so what we want to do is listen to the truth, listen to the Jesus words, and come to the conclusion, wow, is Jesus really saying he's the only way? Because if he is saying that, like, we want to be aware of that. We don't want to close our ears. So hopefully if you're listening to the show and you're like, you know what, I think all religions lead to God, that you don't tune us out right away. I want you to at least listen to the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Okay, and this is like the main verse that we're going to talk about. This is in the Bible. This was said, this is quoting a guy named Peter. Okay, Peter was Jesus' closest follower. Mm-hmm. He was the founder of the church.
Right.
And this is what Peter actually says.
Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.
Okay, you got to think about this. Think about the deadly proportions by which he escalates the situation here. He doesn't say Jesus is the primary way. He doesn't say, hey guys, Jesus is the best way. He says salvation's found in no one else.
Right.
In other words, you go to someone else, you die.
Yeah.
This is you lose salvation.
This isn't a broad sweeping claim here. This is a very pointed, specific statement.
That's right. He says, there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Now, obviously, he's not saying, well, there's a name above heaven whether you could be saved. That is not Jesus. No, he's just trying to say, look, everything under heaven, that basically everything that you could possibly come in contact with won't save you except the name of Jesus. All right, there's no other name except Jesus. Now, I want to give you a little context to this, because you're like, well, okay, so Peter's preaching to the church. You know, he's talking to these people who like Jesus. He's trying to get them pumped up, maybe.
Right.
That wasn't the case. He'd actually gotten arrested, and he was put on trial. The judges, the teachers of the law, the religious people come to him, and they're like, what do you think you're doing? And we actually read in Acts 4, verses 8 to 12, this is him being on trial. This is the record of his trial.
All right. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed."
Because he healed a lame guy and then started preaching about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they arrested him.
Right. "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed."
Okay, so this guy was lame. Mm-hmm. Peter healed him. Peter got arrested. And they come to him and they're like, "Who do you think you are? Who, by what name, by what power," you know, they're freaked out, "by what power did you heal this guy?"
Right.
And he says,
"Jesus."
Jesus. You want to know? It's the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, "The stone you builders rejected."
Jesus is the stone you builders rejected.
"Which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved."
Okay, so right now what we're doing is we're trying to build the case that the Bible and Peter really do believe that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus says he's the only way. So he comes in here, he says, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." What's the cornerstone of a building?
Basically, it's the first one that they laid down that everything else rests upon.
Basically, yeah. You know, the metaphorical idea is you remove that cornerstone, the whole building collapses, right? So he actually is quoting something from earlier scriptures that all the people listening to him would have known.
Oh.
Okay. So he's quoting Psalm 118. Which had existed for 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. Okay, Psalms 118, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." We're going to skip a couple verses here there, but then it says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place." Okay, so it's talking about God's good. And when I go through times that are really crazy and stinky and awful, I have to go to God and he takes care of me. Amen. It says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Okay, note this.
Right.
It's talking about trusting God, not human beings, period. That's what this psalm was about. It's about God is good, trust God, don't trust humans. And then he says, "I will not die, but I will live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done." Okay, the Lord, because he's in a crazy situation, so he says, "The Lord has chastened me," or disciplined me severely, "but he's not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous." Okay, now, this is important.
Okay.
So far he said, God's really good. When I have problems, I go to God because I trust God. I don't trust people. Yes, so God punishes me, but then he says, "Open the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord." What are these gates? He says, "This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You, God, have become my salvation." So who is the gate? God himself is the gate. So you go to God and he's the one who saves you. And then it says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and it's marvelous in our eyes." In other words, all you people rejected God, but he is the one who saved me.
Right.
I don't trust people. I trust God. He's the one who saves me. He's the cornerstone, even though you reject him. And then Peter says, "Hey, guess what? Jesus is the cornerstone that you rejected." And what he's saying is, look, these are all religious people he's talking to, and they believe in God. They follow God. Right. They are good people in what we would say, you know, compared to us. They follow all God's rules.
Well, he's standing in front of a group of people that knew exactly what he was saying when he said it.
Yes.
Okay? And he's taking his life into his own hands. This is not something that he just would flippantly say if he didn't believe it were true.
Right. He absolutely believes it's true. And he says to these very religious people, hey, Psalm 118, where it says that God is the one who saves and you all have rejected God. Guess what? Jesus is that God and you rejected him. I mean, this is pretty clear. Peter's saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. Even though you are religious, you have lost God because you didn't believe in Jesus. Right. Got that? That's what's really important here. Peter is telling all these people, even though you believe in God, you are doomed because you don't believe in Jesus. It's not God. It's believing in Jesus that saves us. And a lot of people get really upset by this. like, well, can't I be a good person? Like, isn't, why would you say Jesus is the only way? And when talking about this verse, Acts 4:12, that we just read, where salvation is found in no one else.
Right.
There's no other name in heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. Norman Geisler, he writes, Peter declares that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But isn't this narrow exclusivism? What about the sincere pagan or Buddhist? Is God going to send them to hell? And here's what he offers as a solution. Dave, will you read that first paragraph?
Yeah, several observations are relevant to the question. First of all, sincerity is not a good test of truth.
Oh, dude. He just said sincerity is not a good test of truth.
Right.
A lot of people will ask, look, but these people were sincere Buddhists. Mm-hmm. These people were sincere Muslims. They really wanted to follow God, but they didn't believe in Jesus. But sincerity is not a test of whether something's real or not.
Right.
My kids very sincerely want to eat cookies before bed. Doesn't make it right. Believe me, they would do it every night if they could. Someone can believe all they want that 1 + 1 = 9.
Right.
If they honestly, and you may ask, like, say, ask a 3-year-old before they learn math, and they really think 1 + 1 = 9.
Right. Or
it doesn't matter. They're still wrong.
Yeah. You could set a nickel down and then 3 pennies in front of a child and say, which one of these is more? They're going to say the 3 pennies are.
Yeah. And we know they're wrong, even though they're completely sincere. Mm-hmm. And you would say, yeah, but sincerity matters. Doesn't it matter? Say, well, it does matter if I'm trying to assess whether or not you love me, but it doesn't matter if you're building an airplane.
Right. I sincerely tried to build that airplane. Didn't work.
Like I sincerely thought I had fastened the wings on tightly enough. I hadn't done it, but you know, no one's going to like go, you know what? He really tried to fasten the wings on. He didn't put all the bolts in, but like he really tried. No, that guy's going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
And likewise, when we come to God, we have to go through Jesus Christ. He is the only gate. You can't go, well, someone tried to go to God by a different route when God said there's only one route. Well, yeah, but they were sincere about their wrong route. Well, that doesn't matter.
Right, still lost.
What matters is whether it's the right route or not. And the only route, the only one available is Jesus. Second, Norman Geisler says,
second, all truth is exclusive. The truth that 2 + 3 = 5 is very exclusive too. It does not allow for any other conclusion.
That's right.
The same is true of value statements such as racism is wrong and people should not be cruel. These views do not tolerate any alternatives.
And third, he says, all truth claims are exclusive. For example, if humanism is true, then all non-humanisms are false. If atheism is true, then all who believe in God are wrong. You understand what we're saying here? Right? Right. So anytime you make a truth claim, the opposite of it would be
untrue.
It would be a falsehood, right? Mm-hmm. So if I say there is a God, then if you say there's not a God, then one of us is wrong.
Right.
You can't be like, well, this person sincerely believed there was no God, or this person sincerely rejected Jesus. That doesn't matter. If there's a truth out there, is it true that Jesus exists and that Jesus is the only way, or is it not true? Because if it is true that Jesus is the only way, then that is the truth that exists.
Amen.
And sincerity and other opinions are just wrong. And that's what's really important here. Fourth,
Jesus in the New Testament clearly and repeatedly emphasized that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
No one goes to the Father except through him. Yeah. Jesus said it himself. Right. He also claimed that he was the door, right? That gate that we were talking about. Also, Peter said there's no salvation in no one else in Acts 4:12 that we just read. All right. We're going to come back, and I want to do two things. Well, three things on the other side of the break. I want to answer Bible contradiction.
Okay.
We're going to talk about, don't other religions lead to God, though? Like the actual question, not just, well, Christianity is exclusive. And then we're going to talk about the Romans Road. This is a discussion on how to get saved. So if Jesus is the only way, Romans Road is a description, a way for us to understand that road.
All right.
To understand how to know that Jesus saves us and what to do. It's really good if you're trying to explain Christ to somebody. Dave, what church are we from?
Revolution Church.
10 o'clock, 11:30, 5 p.m. is our service times, unless you listen to this at a later date. We'll be right back. Check us out online at truthrevolution.tv.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Don't judge me. Jesus said it in Matthew 7:1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged.
This is one of the most commonly misinterpreted verses ever.
Was Jesus' intention for us to never point out when someone is wrong? Never to judge an action?
In Matthew 18, Jesus tells us to confront sin, so we can't ignore it, but how do we do that without judging them?
Important distinction. Ignoring someone's sin is not the same as not judging them.
I can ignore someone and still judge them in my mind.
Helping people out of sin is a great thing, as long as we aren't thinking evil or hating them.
The Bible never says to punish a sinner. If there's revenge, it's God's anyway. Our job is to lovingly help them be restored and repent from their sin.
Without casting judgment. So when Jesus says not to judge, he's referring more to an inward attitude.
It doesn't mean we cannot judge whether an action is right or wrong. We're supposed to do that.
Amen.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
Yeah, all right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church.
Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Talking about the exclusivity of Christ.
That's right. How exclusive he is.
Mm-hmm.
No, a lot of people say, well, don't all religions lead to God? I mean, really, don't they all take us there eventually?
Well, it may look like it on the outside. They may claim that they do.
There are some similarities. Mm-hmm. There are similar morals in some religions.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're all exactly the same, though. An article at equip.org, which we'll link to.
Okay.
It says, can Christianity be faulted for unabashed arrogance in claiming to offer the only way to God? After all, don't all religions lead to God? You jump down a little bit. It says, a brief survey of a few religions would quickly reveal that every single one of them has competing claims that contradict other religions. That's important.
Right.
You ever seen those coexist bumper stickers?
Yes.
I love the heart of the people. Right? Yes. They're trying to say, look, we can get along. But the reality is, it says, how, for example, can someone... How, for example, can someone logically square the Hindu teaching that the universe is God with a Muslim belief that Allah, the God of Islam, is distinct from the universe?
Right.
Those don't go together. It continues, any honest investigator would have to admit that religions harbor irreconcilable differences, demonstrating they cannot all possibly lead to the same God. Logically speaking, they can all be wrong, but they cannot all be right.
Amen.
That's very important distinction right there.
Yeah.
All religions could be wrong, but we certainly can't all be right.
Right. You know, they talk about the universal truth, but the thing is that not all roads lead to God because like we just talked about.
When you
about,
say they talk about the universal truth, what is that? What are you talking about?
Yeah, the universal truth that basically all roads lead to God. We're all going to heaven. And, you know, that as long as I'm a good person, you know, they anthropomorphize God Did I say that right?
Yeah.
In giving him human attributes. You know, it's like, oh, he'll forgive me because we humans are imperfect and prone to error and judgment. God is not.
Hmm.
You know, he is.
Well, it's interesting because God will forgive us.
Yes.
But only if we ask for his forgiveness in the way that he's told us to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'd say to my kids, hey, I will forgive you, but I need you to write 10 sentences about, you know, this, and then you'll get your video game back. And they go, I'm going to clean my room. They go there and clean the room. And I'm like, what'd you do? I clean my room. I should get my video game back. I'll say, well, no, I said, you write 10 sentences. And they go, okay. Yeah, I write 10 sentences. Fine. And they do 5 push-ups. And they're like, give me my game back. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I told you to write 10 sentences.
Kids have some sincere problems.
And they're like, fine. And they go run a mile and then come back. And like, I ran a mile. Can I have my game back? I'm like, why? I told you exactly how to get your game back. Why are you not doing it? Because they want to do everything other than what I've told them. And sometimes this is exactly it. Like Jesus has said, I'm the only way. And the people are like, oh yeah? Well, I've been a nice person. Sorry. No, you need Jesus. Yeah, well, I really believe that the universe is God. No, you need Jesus. Yeah, well, I'm just going to try to be nice to people and not kill anyone. Yeah, okay, about that. You still need Jesus. Right? The article goes on, says, we therefore need to ask which religion points to the right God and consider how certain its claims really are. Regarding these questions, Christianity towers above the religions of the world. For instance, while every religion would have man try to reach up to God, Christianity says that it's God who reached down to man.
Amen.
That's a pretty big distinction, isn't it?
It is.
You know, we are at Revolution Church going this next month or so, month and a half, and we're reading a couple books.
Mm-hmm.
One of the books that we're reading is More Than a Carpenter. And this book in there talks about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. The show we're doing today actually is based off of one of these chapters. A few of these chapters. And in here, if you want to buy one of these books and read along with us, you're certainly welcome to. You can contact us, let us know you're doing that. We'll put you on a list. I'm going to email some people and say, hey, here's what I think about this chapter we read this week or whatever.
That's awesome.
More Than a Carpenter. The other book is The Reason for God by Timothy Keller. The Timothy Keller book is $11 on Amazon. This book's like $3 if you order it through us on Amazon. We don't make any money off it, but certainly if you want to do that, you can contact us and let us know. But in here, this book shows how Jesus is the only way, how he is more than just a carpenter, even though he was raised by a Jewish carpenter. And an easy way to show people how to be saved, if we have to have Jesus, a really easy way and a necessary way is to know what Romans Road is. And we're going to come and do that right after the Bible Contradiction.
Okay.
Bible Contradiction.
Bible Contradiction brought to you by the fine folks of thinkingatheist.com. Mark 19:20. After
the fine folks.
We are all fine folks, right? We just want to get along.
Yeah.
Although it takes Jesus to go to heaven. All right.
Did you say hell?
Go to heaven.
Okay. Just checking.
All right. Mark 19:20. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then his disciples went out and preached everywhere and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So the ascension took place presumably from a room while the disciples were together.
He ascended to heaven from a room. Mm-hmm.
Luke 24:50-51, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. So the ascension happened outside at Bethany near Jerusalem. So these two are contradicting each other.
Did he ascend from a room or from outside near Bethany?
Mm-hmm.
Look, our cracked acronym, the second C stands for
credibility.
And this is really just seriously disingenuous of the thinking atheists. If they were thinking when they put this on their Bible contradiction list, they were thinking dishonestly.
They were thinking atheism is what they were thinking.
I don't even think they were thinking atheism. I think they were thinking dishonestly because there's no one, I think, who would read this first one and say, oh yeah, absolutely. Jesus had to ascend from a room. I mean, it says Mark 19. Okay, so Jesus is in a room. It says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven. It doesn't say from a room. It just says after they were in the room.
Right.
I mean, obviously, they left the room.
Yeah, it doesn't say 0.9 seconds after he got done talking to them, he ascended to heaven.
No.
From the room.
This is just completely disingenuous to even suggest this is a contradiction. I think no one in the right mind would read that and go, oh, wow, that one really damages the Bible. So this is not a contradiction in any shape or way. In fact, this one really informs us and shows us how some people treat the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not reading it to understand it. They're reading it to find anything they can try to hopefully find something wrong with it. Because they want to make a list of 1,000 things wrong with the Bible, even if they find things that aren't really wrong with the Bible.
Right, so they can prove that it's not true and therefore live the life the way they're living.
And that sort of thinking really just irritates me, to be honest, because no thinking atheist should think that this is a Bible contradiction, because it's not.
Bible contradiction.
All right, let's get onto the Romans Road.
And I have some atheist friends I love. And they're really good thinkers. Mm-hmm. They got great questions. This was not a great one. They can do better than that. Okay.
Well, it really did move you, didn't it?
Back to Romans. Right. Well, I don't mind answering people's questions, but it's like when someone comes when it seems like they're just being completely dishonest, mm-hmm. trying to tell people there's a contradiction when it doesn't even look like one. Anyway, Romans Road. Let's get into this. Okay, so Jesus is the only way. So how do you come to Jesus? Well, I actually used to keep a copy of a sticky note. I might do this again. I don't know. In the front of my Bible that I carried. Maybe I need to put it in my phone too. But Romans Road, it's a set of 6 verses that shows someone how to be saved. And a lot of times, I'll just use one of these verses. And we'll talk about that one by itself. Okay. But let's do this. Okay, the very first one is Romans 3:10. So you open up your Bible, and if you want to know how to be saved, or if you want to know how to help someone, you go to Romans 3, mm-hmm. chapter 3, verse 10. It talks about no one is righteous. Dave, will you read that?
There is no one righteous, not even one.
And then you just ask the person, Dave, this says there is no one righteous, not even one. You know what righteousness means?
Yes.
Oh, okay, Dave does, which is helpful because Dave already knows.
Sorry, should I say no?
Try it.
No.
No, okay. He doesn't know what righteousness is. So I explained it. Righteousness is absolute perfection. You've never made a mistake. Is that true?
No.
That there's no one righteous?
Right.
Okay, there's no one righteous. Then we go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. See, this is a little bit later, and we read that one.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Okay, everyone has sinned. Dave, have you ever done anything wrong?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, and it says we fall short of the glory of God, right? God's glory is massive. We fall short of it. Romans 6:23.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, and this one says, okay, you know, because you're not perfect, and because you already admitted you sinned, it tells us right here, the wages of sin, mm-hmm. like what you earn because of your sin, is death. You're going to die, and you would die in hell forever and ever and ever. It says, but the gift of God, and Dave, how much does a gift cost you?
It's a gift, which means it's for free.
For free, right? Yeah. God gives you
free dollars.
A gift of eternal life.
Yeah.
It's a gift. But the important thing is if I give you a gift, I say, hey, Dave, I got a gift for you, but it's in the house. You got to go in the house.
Right.
Right? It says, hey, there's a gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. our Lord. All right. That's important. This gift is only available if you know Jesus. Then you flip over to Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Then you explain, Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he paid for your sin, right? Mm-hmm. He took your punishment away because God punished him instead of you. And that's how God demonstrates that he loves you, because Jesus died for
Amen.
You. God allowed his son to die for you to pay for the sins that you admit you have. Now, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We already learned that. You have to believe this, but how does that work? Well, you flip over to Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says,
if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Yes.
For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved.
Right there. Declare Jesus is Lord and you believe with your heart, which means your emotions and your mind.
Amen.
That God raised him from the dead. If you believe that, it says you will be saved, period. Then Romans 10:17 says,
consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
Then you just encourage them. You need to study the word of God, the Bible.
Amen.
You believe in Jesus Christ, confess Jesus as Lord, and then study the Bible. Study God's words, and you will know him better. All right, that's not a script. It's just an outline. You have a conversation with someone. But if you need to be saved, you know it. Contact us. If you want to use this, it'll be on our website, truthrevolution.tv. Thanks for joining us and coming out to Revolution Church. We'd love to have you, no matter what you've been through.